From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, time travelers and reincarnation with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Get ready for that. Stephen Hawking, the British mathematician and physicist, we love this guy, famed for his work on black holes, rushed to a hospital Monday, seriously ill. Hawking has been fighting a chest infection for several weeks and was being treated at a hospital in London. Professor Hawking is very ill, said Gregory Hayman, the Cambridge University's head of communications. He is undergoing tests. He's been unwell for a couple of weeks, he said. The illness had caused Hawking to cancel an appearance at Arizona State University on April 6. He's 67 years old, gained world renown for his work on black holes, and has remained active despite being diagnosed at 21 with ALS, an incurable degenerative disorder, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. For some years, Hawking has been almost entirely paralyzed, and he communicates only through an electronic voice synthesizer activated by his fingers.
There is nothing bigger or older than the universe. The questions I would like to talk about are: 1. Where did we come from? How did the universe come into being? Are we alone in the universe? Is there alien life out there? What is the future of the human race?
Hawking was involved in the search for the great goal of physics, a unified theory which would resolve contradictions between Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity, which describes the laws of gravity that govern the motion of large objects like planets, and the theory of quantum mechanics, which deals with the world of subatomic particles. We'll keep updating this story for you in the next few days. Jamaica, a gunman forced his way through airport security there, hijacked a Canadian jet near Montego Bay, holding six crew members hostage for 8 hours before police and soldiers stormed the aircraft and captured the man. Nobody was killed or injured in the ordeal, which ended with a raid near daylight after talks broke down with a 20-year-old Jamaican hijacker described as mentally challenged. CIA interrogators used the waterboarding technique on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the admitted planner of the September 11 attacks, 183 times and 83 times on another al-Qaeda suspect. The New York Times said a 2005 Justice Department memorandum showed that Abu Zubaydah, the first prisoner questioned in the CIA's overseas detention program in August of 2002, was waterboarded 83 times. And although a former CIA officer had told the news media he had been subjected to only 35 seconds underwater before talking, Peter Lance, five-time Emmy Award-winning investigative reporter, was just on with us last week. He's been covering the 9/11 situation since it occurred. Peter, this situation, I wanted to ask you, do you still believe the fact that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was involved as the planner, even though he was waterboarded now apparently 183 times?
Oh, absolutely, he was the planner. The harsh interrogation techniques don't undercut the fact that he was the uncle of Ramzi Youssef, who set the plot in motion in Manila in 1994, and he carried out the plot that his nephew created, George. But what this says, if you really do the math on this, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was apparently waterboarded 183 times in the month of August of 2003, excuse me, March of 2003 after September.
Okay.
That's six times a day.
That's a lot.
To apparent drowning, the threat of being drowned. And it's been now labeled torture by President Obama and the Attorney General. So what's really interesting about the Abu Ubaydah situation is he apparently gave up Khalid Sheikh. He did rat him out, but he did it in the early months prior to when there was any, apparently, when waterboarding took place. He basically shot his load early on, but senior CIA officials determined that, or concluded that, he had more to give, and that's when they started, they wrote this Justice Department memo to justify it, and that's when the truly harsh torture techniques began.
So you don't think the torture created some kind of episode to cause them to say this and make it up? It, you know, in some cases of interrogation, Peter, as you know, if you're torturing somebody, they may say anything. You don't think that's the case here?
No, that is typical, but I don't believe that. I think I've documented as well as anybody the role of bin Laden, al-Qaeda, Yousef, and Khalid Sheikh in the 9/11 attacks, dating back to the cell in New York in 1989. So I don't believe that Khalid Sheikh was, you know, forced to admit that he was the mastermind. But clearly, the information he gave is unreliable. And one quick point. In the 9/11 Commission report, George, what is so really shocking is that in the information that I gave about the plot starting in 94, they pushed the plot forward 2 years, and they entirely relied on Khalid Sheikh's word under torture as to when the plot began. And NBC News did a study of the 9/11 Commission report. This is unbelievably shocking. 441 of the 1,700 footnotes in the 9/11 report, more than 25%, George, were based on detainees who were subjected to these kind of harsh interrogation techniques. So you've got a quarter of the 9/11 report based on this completely specious kind of interrogation, you know, the stuff that they gave up under these conditions. What does that say about the conclusions reached in the 9/11 report?
Good point. Peter Lantz, his website, and I urge all of you to take a look at it from time to time, is Peter Lantz, LENCE.com. President Barack Obama has banned the use of waterboarding, overturning a Bush administration policy that it did not constitute torture. The sudden strange death of 21 polo horses at a championship event in Florida now may have been caused by a toxin in the animals' feed, vitamins, or supplements, according to veterinarians. The horses from Venezuela, they were on a team there, became ill just before a tournament match Sunday, collapsing and dying on the scene or while being treated at vet clinics or transported, according to officials. A Mississippi woman survived being shot through the head by her husband, even made herself a cup of tea. Police and doctors hailed the survival of the 47-year-old woman, Tammy Sexton, as a miracle. The bullet from a .38-caliber handgun struck her squarely in the forehead, passed through her skull, exited through the back of her head. Police officers in Jackson County, Mississippi, were astonished when she offered them tea when they arrived at her home after the shooting. The sheriff said when the officer got there, she said, "What's going on?" She was holding a rag on her head and talking. She was conscious, but was confused about what had happened. He went on to say that she had made herself some tea and offered the officer something to drink. There's no way she should be alive other than a miracle from God. You just don't hear of something like this. Somebody gets shot in the head, they're dead. He said the bullet apparently passed through the lobes of the woman's brain without causing damage. She was rushed to the hospital by helicopter, where she was monitored for 3 days. She's expected to make a full recovery. Her husband shot himself dead after the attack on his wife. Stocks tumbled Monday as a six-week-old rally lost steam on worries about financial sector earnings, despite Bank of America's better-than-expected quarterly results. The Dow Jones Industrial lost almost 300 points. It was the biggest one-day sell-off on a point basis since March 2nd. And about 1,600 white-collar workers at General Motors will lose their jobs in the next few days as the troubled automaker accelerates cost cuts in order to qualify for more government aid. U.S. manufacturers, including major drug makers, have legally released at least 271 million pounds of pharmaceuticals into waterways that often provide drinking water to you. Contamination the federal government has consistently overlooked. Hundreds of active pharmaceutical ingredients are used in a variety of manufacturing, including drug making. For example, lithium is used to make ceramics and treat bipolar disorder. Nitroglycerin is a heart drug used as explosives. Copper shows up in everything from pipes to contraceptives. Federal and industry officials say they don't know the extent to which pharmaceuticals are released by U.S. manufacturers because no one tracks them as drugs. But a close analysis of 20 years now of federal records, 20 years, found that, in fact, the government unintentionally keeps data on a few, allowing a glimpse of the pharmaceuticals coming from factories. Incredible story out of Egypt. Egypt's top archaeologist, Zahi Hawass, made his version of a sales pitch, presenting 22 coins, 10 mummies, an alabaster head, and a fragment of a mask with a cleft chin as evidence that the discovery of the lost tomb of Mark Anthony and Cleopatra is at hand. Zahi showed off the ancient treasures to journalists during a tour of the 2,000-year-old temple to the god Osiris, where they found. He believes the site near the Mediterranean Sea contains the tomb of the doomed lovers that had been shrouded in mystery for so long. Mark Anthony and Cleopatra challenged Caesar for control of the Roman Empire more than two millennia ago. Their armies were defeated, and rather than subject themselves to capture, the two lovers committed suicide. Mark Anthony by his sword, Cleopatra with a poisonous snake. I was at the X conference in Washington, D.C. this weekend. Just had a wonderful time. I mean, absolutely wonderful time. Lots of people there talking about UFOs, talking about disclosure. Last year, I was honored by the organization with the Journalism Award, and we keep it in the family this year. George Knapp, our weekend host and also an investigative reporter at KLAS Television in Las Vegas, received the Journalism Award this year. I sat next to former Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell, who was telling me that he seriously now, and he's in his late 70s, but he is seriously considering going back into space, which would make him the oldest astronaut since John Glenn went back in. Edgar Mitchell, of course, was part of the 1971 Apollo 14 mission, and he asserts that extraterrestrial life exists and that the truth is being concealed by the U.S. and other governments. As a matter of fact, he was at a press conference today in Washington, D.C., where he made that statement, and CNN showed up. In a moment, Steve Bassett updates us on the X conference on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Stephen Bassett, the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group, who put on the X Conference, our guest this hour, will take calls at the half. While we were at the X Conference, we would go up on the podium, and Steve would be helping everybody, including me, get up a little set of stairs. We'd get up, and Steve was there helping us down. Right at the end, after Steve had given out all the awards, he fell off the steps and gashed his head. Stephen, how are you? I didn't have a chance to check you out after you hit your head.
Well, I've got a problem now, George. You see, last year at the banquet for the X Conference, there was a defective step that they had in front of the stairs, the hotel, and which they've totally corrected now. And I went up, and it collapsed, and I smashed into the stage there and nearly broke my leg.
I remember that.
Yeah, and but we were okay. I was glad it was me and not, you know, Paul Hellyer or someone else. Then this year, in trying to get a group photo of the award winners, I grabbed the chair and I'm trying to move it out of the way, and I hit those steps. I've got a chair in my arms. I go crashing forward, and with the chair in my arms, right, you can't catch yourself. So I was able to stop my fall with my face on the edge of the corner where the two walls came together. So now my problem is, George, is this is now a tradition for the X Conference, and so now on every banquet dinner, I'm going to have to fall on my butt, and people are going to be expecting that. So I don't know.
Well, people were talking about two things: the great folks at the X Conference and your gash on your head. And so I'm glad you're okay. Anyway, you had your news conference today. Tell me, how did it go?
The press conference this morning was very good. It's the best we've had, and it's already started the news cycle. We had approximately 75 people in the First Amendment room, and a number of press, including Washington Post, The Washington Times, and CNN. CNN has definitely jumped on this and is out in front, which is good. We'd gotten calls from them before, and they showed up, and they're starting to write the articles. But before we get into that, The press conference was different. You know, we don't get the opportunity to do these very often, so we have to sort of put as much as we can into these things because of the cost and other factors. But the way this came together was really powerful. Edgar Mitchell started off by making a pretty straightforward statement about what he has said before, said on Kerrang Radio back in July of last year, about what he's been told, what he's learned, which has convinced him completely that the ET issue is real. ET presence is real.
Well, and you know he's been seeing it on Coast to Coast for years, even before that, Stephen.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But, you know, it's a big world out there. I mean, take a show, take the top-rated show on cable news, whatever it is, O'Reilly.
Yep.
And what, it has 2 million viewers? What does that mean? That means that every day, 340-some million viewers, people don't watch it. So you can say something a lot, but plenty of people don't know it, haven't heard it. And if it's an important thing, it has to be reset and reset until the people do hear, which is what Edgar's doing. So he made that statement and then called on the administration, called on this current government to end this embargo, which he referred to as an embargo. That's the first time I think he's done that, and he did it at the National Press Club. Then he was immediately followed by Major Milton Torres, who was the Air Force pilot that was ordered to shoot down a UFO in the UK in 1957. He went up over the channel with a wingman in a pea soup fog, and as he got close to it, he realized that this thing was massive. And, of course, he was just worried, to say the least. And then just before he was ordered to fire his rocket load at this thing suddenly jumped forward at extraordinary speed, made several maneuvers, and was gone. When he returned to the base, he was told this was now a classified mission. A member of the intelligence team came down the next day and ordered him to never speak of it again, which he didn't do. He kept his mouth shut. But when the UK released the record of the report of this in their last document dump, they've been doing this now for some time, releasing many thousands of their files. It reported this, the press jumped on it, and that was a news cycle. Well, he was there again, repeated that to the press, and he called for all of the release of the UFO files in the hands of the government of the United States, all of them, which is, of course, the same thing that John Podesta has done, and to some extent what Bill Richardson, the governor of Mexico, has done. That was very powerful. And he was followed by Nick Pope, who, of course, has been sort of in the middle of this firestorm going on in the UK that is being generated by the release of these records and all the articles and media, which some of which is spilling back here. So essentially, Dr. Torres reinforced Dr. Mitchell, Nick Pope reinforced Dr. Torres. And then Richard Dolan formally announced the publishing of his second volume of UFOs in the National Security State.
Perfect.
The Cover-Up Exposed, I believe, is the secondary title. Followed by an announcement by Alfred Weber regarding a UN initiative to get a couple of countries to reinitiate a previous resolution put in by a country of Grenada, which would put the UN in the disclosure business fairly quickly. And then Roger Lear gave the basics of some extraordinary new findings from a recent implant from a really, I met, very nice fellow, a materials engineer, very sharp, very intelligent, who had been investigating his contact experience for some time and eventually decided to have an implant removed. And when it was removed, it is now being studied by multiple labs showing extraordinary characteristics, and the likelihood that somehow it just happened to make its way to his body is simply a million, if not more, to one. So this was about an hour and 20 minutes. It was intense. The audience was intense. The press was there afterwards. People were getting interviewed all over the press club. What can I say? I mean, it couldn't have been better. Now, what's manifested since, CNN is out in front of the story right now.
And you were so on top of this, Stephen. CNN called our office today, wanted to get me on. I'm in St. Louis. They were going to find a studio out here, but their call was so late, and I had other commitments all day, I couldn't do it. But, I mean, again, you had half this planet talking about the X conference this weekend.
Well, you know, that's nice, let me give you a sense of where things are. You're right. CNN, a number of CNN shows contacted us right away to have Edgar on right away. And naturally, you want to do that, and you need to be prepared to do that. But,
yep.
Of course, I've got a middle of a conference, and we've got 60 people at the press club. And But nevertheless, we were going to do whatever it took, and Edgar was scheduled to do it, was asked to do a CNN show this morning. Well, this morning now, right?
Yeah.
And then another CNN show Sunday night. And then we have been contacted by another very important CNN show. Now, the first two had declined. As it happens, one of Edgar's children is ill and not feeling well, and Edgar simply had to return to Florida. So
all right, Stephen.
And left. So we're going to have to catch up on that, but we will.
We're going to take some phone calls with you when we come back. Stephen Bassett, the X Conference, Disclosure, Do You Believe? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, it's Dr. Bruce Goldberg joining us as we talk about teleportation, time travel, and yes, reincarnation. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We've got Stephen Bassett here, the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group, the X Conference. And Stephen, I assume if we don't get disclosure between now and next year, you're going to do this again and keep pounding away at this, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes, the movement is now coalescing. That's going to grow, and the pressure on the U.S. government from many sources will grow. So we're going to continue until we prevail. But I'd like to point out something, if I could, to your audience, George. Right now, if they go to CNN.com, what they'll discover instantly is that, unless this is regional, you know, they do have regional postings. But
postings, sometimes.
On sites now. But right now, I believe, at CNN.com, the lead story, former astronaut, man not alone in the universe, is right up. It's the lead story, even though other stories broke after this or were recorded after this. They've made this the lead story on the site. That means that it's getting the most hits. It's getting the most attention. So, you know, you can read the story about his comments at the National Press Club today. And I would really invite your audience to then drop on down, sign up, register with the CNN site, and put their comments in the sound off section. I'd love to see thousands. I'd love to see many hundreds or thousands of comments from our listeners, your listeners, rather. About this article and what they think about it, because I know for a fact now the way things work is that pieces go up at these major news sites, and they watch very carefully how many comments are there. They read these comments to determine then what more they will do with this, how much further, what other shows will they maybe follow up with, will there be follow-up articles. So this is the interactive process going on between the citizens and the mainstream news media, and it's running right through the comments section. So this is a great opportunity to express your view about Edgar, about the issue. There are people that believe this is all silly, and they're voicing their opinion in there. So I encourage you to do that. Now, the news cycle is just underway. I'd like to point out, though, in this age of cyber journalism, that the initial story, I guess you could say the scoop story, was in fact written for the Washington Windows column of Cape Cod Today newspaper of Massachusetts, mm-hmm. by Dick Farley, who wrote a piece, two pieces already on this, including the Mitchell. So he really scooped everyone else. And then another phenomenon, as you know, there is a extraordinary development going on in the Internet, and I refer to it as direct journalism. And that's very elaborate, sophisticated sites where anyone who goes through a modest process is able to be a contributor and write their thoughts about the news, write news to pieces. People may know what I'm talking about, places like sites like American Journal, Op-Ed News, Newsblaze, The Canadian, and a recent addition, The Examiner, which is very sophisticated and growing like crazy. And what I mean by direct journalism is that people are writing material that are being put into a proper format and put out without an intervening fact checker, without an intervening editor. So it's direct to the people, which means it can happen extremely fast. It can also be extremely wrong.
I was going to say it could be dangerous if the contributor is screwing around.
Well, dangerous in this sense. I mean, if it's wrong, then, of course, it can mislead some people. But then there's other articles, there's other material that people can draw on. But yeah, you're right. But what's amazing to me is that the people that are and there are many thousands now that are writing for American Chronicle, Op-Ed News, and The Examiner are really working very hard to try to create accurate pieces. But, of course, they're able to cover just a wealth of things that the mainstream news doesn't have enough reporters, doesn't have enough money. And so Google and Yahoo have made the decision that in their search protocols. When you do the news searches and you do a search say on Edgar Mitchell, the returns that come from, say, the New York Times or the LA Times or CNN, that same protocol pulls up the Examiner articles and the American Journal articles. And so all these pieces are coming up right away. And so the Examiner is already, Fred Burks has already got a piece out there on Examiner and others. So they're very right on top of this, and they're being followed. So the news cycle has just begun.
Beautiful. And let me ask you, Stephen, do you think, though, Edgar Mitchell's comments could hurt his chances if he wants to go back into space with NASA?
Yeah, well, from my perspective, I think it's going to get him back into space.
You do? Okay.
Edgar Mitchell has a number of things he wants to do at 77, and I can say with confidence that one of them is that he would like to go back into space, and I, you know, the man has had several bouts of cancer. He's had cancer. He's had a heart attack, and he's still right with us. He's strong.
He's still going.
He looks
yeah.
good. This is a guy sticking around for a reason, and I'll tell you something else. Edgar Mitchell, this great American, wants to blow the lid off this truth embargo.
Yes, he does.
So he is doing what he can, and the media now is, I think, taking notice. We have a different arena. So we're at the beginning of a news cycle, but how long this news cycle runs, how many more news entities get involved, is somewhat dependent on how much response they get from the people about what they're putting out there. So to the extent that the audience of Coast to Coast can express their interest in this subject as they respond to these articles in the comments section, they can help drive this news cycle so that we get the most coverage from as many entities as possible, and that's just going to get us to the truth a lot faster.
Beautiful. Charlie in Denton, Texas, on the wild card line. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, I was just wanted to say, I don't necessarily believe this, but there's some that would say, like, you know, the government's involvement with UFOs is pretty much widely known, and there are a lot of people that would say that all the recent coverage, like on TV, on CNN, the Vatican, the British releases and stuff like that, could be just some sort of conditioning for the public for, like, mm-hmm. a false flag alien invasion to push forward some shadow government agenda.
What do you think of that, Stephen? We've heard that before. Even
sure.
Was it Carol Rosen who was saying, and she was an aide to Wernher von Braun, that even he believed that there was going to be a false flag around UFOs?
Sure. There's 2 points here. One, any significant news story or news thread coming forward with information could be an attempt to misdirect. If you have the resources to create misdirected information and get it into the news media, that's always a possibility, and you always need to be alerted to it. No question. But more likely than not, a lot more likely than not, if you have a substantial story or a substantial issue breaking into the news, whether it's a social issue, landmines, war in Iraq, what have you, though the war in Iraq is an interesting example. It is what it is. It's information getting out. It's stories breaking in multiple ways, and the sum of everything is going to give you a picture of what's happening, though any piece of part of that might be incorrect. So, and then the other point is that, you know I fairly understand why people are suspicious, given how powerful this issue is and given how the government has dealt with it, and more importantly, just how cynical and frustrated and angry people are about government and the way it operates and the lack of transparency and openness and the mendacity and everything else. And so they're operating from a deeply suspicious first, ask questions later mode. Oh, it's CNN right now. On CNN right now, they're doing a bulletin, and let me see if I can bring it up. Maybe you all can hear it. It's Edgar Mitchell. 1 second.
Okay, good.
1947, Mitchell, though, adds, an admiral now denies the story, but he stands by his claim that there's life out there and it's being covered up.
I don't know.
Yeah, and that, Stephen, is the article that they've got posted on CNN.
Well, that was a piece of synchronicity.
Sure, where apparently the admiral that Edgar Mitchell was talking with a long time ago, who freely tried to get the information and believed it, apparently now he's denying it. Edgar says he is denying it, and the guy's changed his story. I wonder why, huh?
Well, we've seen this a lot, and I guess all you need to know is that Edgar Mitchell freely states, whenever he brings this up, that this gentleman is denying it, which, of course, is the hallmark of a man that is extremely honest. So we'll go from there. I understand. We understand this. We understand why people have to do that. I have certain sympathies there.
And, you know, Edgar's classy enough not to reveal the name of the admiral.
But he said he wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, we're seeing this, the news cycle on this now. This is a little bulletin they ran. They'll get feedback from that. They'll run it again later tonight. They'll run it again tomorrow. But let me make it clear. Three CNN shows have already requested an interview, which unfortunately, but just through circumstances beyond our control, Edgar cannot deal with right now. But we kind of think they're going to call back.
Got to keep it hot, though, Stephen. You got to keep it hot.
We do our best, right? We do our best. But this interest, I think, is only early on. We're going to see more of this, and we're going to have an opportunity to see this news cycle last. Now the Kerrang news cycle that sprung from his appearance on the Nick Margerison show there, that started a news media flap in the UK. That was last July. That was pretty darn strong. And I believe that I logged in, and you can find this on my website, paradigmresearchgroup.org, I think 50 articles that were written about his comments at that time. He did receive about 250 media requests, meaning interview, talk to you, television, radio, 250. But Edgar, he couldn't service that. So at least about 200 or more he could even respond to. And that was July. And now this time, it's not on, he has now made his clear statement, not on a UK radio show, but at the National Press Club. He's on camera. The clip is being replayed. It's going to be replayed a lot. In fact, they filmed the entire thing. We learned right after we were done that CNN had live streamed the entire press conference.
Beautiful.
On CNN.com. Now, we're still trying to locate that. My guess is it will be turning up on YouTube very soon. And so the entire press conference, we hope, will be spreading around the internet. So that's where we are with this at this moment. I don't want to get too, carried away. The potential is here for a major news cycle on this issue that could take us places we haven't been before. But again, it's imperative that people respond through the net to the articles, not only in CNN but elsewhere, with their thoughts. Because they're watching for that. If they see lots and lots of comments of people going, yes, we're so happy to hear that. We want more information like that. They will respond to it because that's how they know. That's how they decide where they're going to go with their editorial directions.
Let's go west of the Rockies, Anaheim, California. RJ, you're up with us. Hello, RJ.
Hi. I wanted to ask if UFOs and aliens came to the Earth. If they actually do they ever come with the intent of peace, not wanting to mess with us, just to like establish a relationship with the people of Earth? And if that is what happens, if the coding for the V2 bomber had anything to do with the coding of the spacecraft that landed in Roswell, New Mexico.
I'll answer the second question. That question, along with several hundred thousand others, are questions that we hope to get answered in the post-disclosure world. That would be the era after the U.S. government and the other governments of the world has finally acknowledged that the ET presence, of course, is real. And we're going to have a chance to ask then in that environment, okay, what about this, what about that? And sounds like you're kind of a young guy. I envy you, my friend, because I have a feeling you're going to see some unbelievable things in your lifetime, might even get a chance to go to the stars. With respect to the first question, there is a lot of evidence that the extraterrestrial engagement of our planet is fundamentally peaceful. There's some evidence, though, that it can be rough at times.
Right.
It's not a clear picture yet, and we're looking at it from one end of the telescope. They're coming in from the other. So I'm optimistic that we're okay here. I'm optimistic that we'll maybe 5-6 years from now look back and go, all right, this is good. But it's not a guarantee. But that is the world. That's the world we're in. They exist. We exist. They're interacting with us. We're going to interact with them, and hopefully they'll go for the best. It's not an option to just hide out, put a bag over our heads, and go in a closet and just pretend nothing's happening. That's not an option anymore, and the government needs to understand that. And I believe it's about to, in fact, do just that, come out of the closet. Let's get on with it.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. Jason in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jason, go ahead.
Howdy.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there's been any update in the General Ramey photo with Jesse Marcel, where they have the debris and the Roswell debris, and he was holding up some papers, and they took the negative, the original negative, and magnified it thousands of times and found some evidence on the paperwork.
Wonderful little
General
project.
Ramey was carrying.
Yeah, wonderful project. I have not seen
Great
an update
question.
Lately. Have you, George?
No, I have not. And as we know, Jesse Marcel Jr., said that his father at the time, if I recall, was basically told to spread these artifacts out there. That was that might have been balloon material. I don't think that was the real stuff.
And that's the RIC project. RIC, I think it was RICP project. Look, if you Google the net, looking for Ramey photo, you will find the latest stuff, and I advise you to do it. It's a wonderful project. And what they did discover, I've examined it, what was in that memo was quite interesting, to say the least. One more of a thousand or infinite, almost many countless pieces of evidence that add up to, of course, what we know to be true, that the ET presence is real.
Good question, Jason. Well, Stephen, you know, you keep pounding away at this. You have ever since I've known you, and that was back in 1997. Why do you keep forging ahead?
The short answer is this is the most important issue of our time, maybe of any time, that the next event or the next threshold of this will be the most profound event in human history. As I got into it deeply, I began to become more aware of some of the dysfunctionality that exists in government right now that many of your other guests deal with, too, from other perspectives. You have many guests that dig into what's kind of gone wrong since World War II. I believe that enough has gone wrong to threaten the country, which I happen to think is a pretty good country. I also see dysfunction extending out into the planet, and I had an opportunity to maybe help out, make a difference by helping to facilitate, along with many colleagues, many of which, of course, were at the X Conference, to help maybe get us going in the right direction. I hope that what Paradigm Research Group does is positive and is constructive, and that down the line I'll be proud of it all. But once you get into an issue like this, George, you don't go back. There's nothing that can compare with it. So you move forward. You can't go back, so you move forward. By the way, I would now take advantage, like to announce that the PRG awards that were given out on Saturday night, prior to my falling into the wall with my face, I want to announce those. As you indicated, George Knapp, just a fantastic guy, one of the sharpest guys, I think, in all of media, frankly, received the Courage in Journalism Award. I think your listeners can understand why that was. The Courage in Politics Award for Political Courage, went to John Podesta for obviously coming out in 2002, 2003, calling for the release of the records and stuck sticking by that, never backed off. And I hope to give that award to him in person pretty soon. The Hall of Fame Lifetime Achievement Award went to Colin Andrews for his three-decade work on crop circles, literally defined. The issue was initially defined by Colin Andrews. We gave an Intellectual Courage Award. This is an award that we gave to John Mack last year. And this year it went to Michael Sala. This is for someone in the academia world who has taken on the issue in spite of great risks and potential damage to their career, which he suffered greatly.
Yes.
And has managed to go through all of that, not only with courage, but with grace.
Lost his college job, didn't he?
He lost his college job, his status, in status in the U.S., lost his visa, had to go back, came back, and instead of retreating from the issue, plunged in even deeper. The Lifetime Hall of Achievement Award, posthumous, went to Colonel Gordon Cooper, and I think most of your listeners know what he tried to do for decades. That was certainly an easy call. And then the Disclosure Award, which in the past has gone to Jesse Marcel, to Philip Corso, the Disclosure Award went, and it's an award that goes to someone kind of in authority, from authority, also went to Corrado Baducci in the past, who have done something and done some things which advanced the disclosure process, and this year it went to Nick Pope.
It was hilarious watching him accept, Stephen. He was in shock, to be sure. Stephen Bassett, X-Conference.com. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Dr. Bruce Goldberg on Coast to Coast.